Yeah, thanks a lot again. It's great to be here. You know, at Cloak and Dagger, we should review that it's really a show about smoking guns in the government lies. That's the cloak and the dagger. The smoking guns in the government lies to the people. And we're exposing the big lies that governments and the New World Orders tell us about their cover-ups and all this sort of stuff. It's been quite a lot of fun over the last few weeks, and a lot of people want to find out what's behind the cloak.
I've been following a few times after this show. And, yeah. Bob Dobbs, are you
here? Bob Dobbs is here.
Yes, I'm here, Lenny. I'm here, Deep Throat. Bring on the criminals.
All right, Alex.
That includes you, Dobbs.
Certainly did.
Okay, Bob Dobbs is in New York. He's at a safe house. He'll be safe. He's a lot safer than we are here. And I believe
now that you've told them where we are.
I believe we have Alex. Well, I don't think anyone from the invisible government is going to have any trouble figuring out where we are.
Well, it's 9 o'clock. After 9 o'clock, the owners of the system have gone to sleep. You can party now.
Oh, thank you.
Throat.
I feel much better. I believe Alex Jones is on the phone. Are you there, Alex?
Yes, gentlemen.
Welcome, Alex. Welcome.
Lenny Bloom, Bob Dobbs, the guy with the great radio announcer there. Deep Throat, we've got to get out in front of this thing. We've got to expose it. Number one, I just want to say that it's not just government prior knowledge. Because if we say, okay, they knew and they're just a bunch of idiots, we've got to give them unlimited power and even more funding. That's the answer. They really screwed up. It was prior knowledge. No, it's from day one I've been saying not prior knowledge. The globalists orchestrated this entire event, and now the cashless society, world government, hell grid is being unleashed on us. Exactly as people had predicted over the years, because we saw the scaffolding of the system being prepared.
Alex Jones, you scared me because you sent a videotape to Lenny Bloom. Lenny Bloom showed it to me last week, and the evidence on this videotape, everything from World Trade Center, from the first attempt, everything about Oklahoma. I mean, you power packed that video, and you scared me.
Alex, I think that the most fascinating thing that you go through is to show and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt how the Al-Qaeda and Taliban are just nothing more than a U.S. paramilitary operation.
Oh, yeah, they're ISI, CIA, all the way. The head of ISI, the founder of Taliban and Al-Qaeda, was in the White House on September 11th with the two heads of the intelligence committees that just put out this whitewash exonerating the federal government and King George II.
Yeah, Bob Dobbs, what do you got to say? Do you want to fill it in?
Well, I was wondering what Alex knows about Jackson Stevens down in Venice, Florida. He included him in the loop.
Well, look, Florida, the only connection we have there is good old Governor Jeb Bush, who on September 7th declared martial law, and that is confirmed, unlimited power to his military forces.
And Alex, I might add that the president of the Florida Holocaust Museum, John Loftus, who's a former U.S. Department of Justice Nazi war crimes prosecutor, has just released a report that our friend Len Horowitz has on his tetrahedron.org site, which Dobbs, you has been passing around, and it's called The Dutch Connection, How a Famous American Family Made Its Fortune from the Nazis, and How the Bush Family Made Its Fortune from the Nazis is the main headline.
Well, certainly, and we know that George Bush's senior's father, Prescott Bush, the senator, was actually detained and charged, but then it got whitewashed with three separate charges of trading with the enemy, 53% of Nazi steel production going to the bank that he chaired, Brown Brother Harriman. And it's the same thing over and over again, whether it's Hitler, whether it's Stalin, whether it's Mao, whether it's Fidel Castro. They're always creating these wind-up toys and then trying to take our rights away, trying to militarize our police, trying to get even more centralization and secrecy in government in the name of keeping us safe. And then we have the biggest smoking gun that I really like to spend time on tonight, and that is the Northwoods document, a U.S. government plan to blow up buildings and hijack airliners. Confirmed, we have the smoking gun, we have the government planning an attack almost identical to 911.
We have got Stephen from Scarborough. Stephen, you have a question.
Yes, sir. You guys say that the U.S. government set up the whole 9/11 attack. I can believe that, but how did they get the hijackers to commit suicide?
That's a very good question. I can answer it.
Go ahead, Alex. You've got the floor.
Okay, it's a classic double agent type situation, a provocateur. Many of the riots we've seen here in the U.S. have been provocateur, not even been confirmed in local media. You just never hear it nationally. Well, this is on a bigger scale. You think of Bin Laden, who they admit the Bush's vacation with his family, They get the big construction deals, the oil contracts. So very close relationship with the CIA back in the 80s, right to the 90s, bringing down the Kosovo with the Serbs. We know that Al-Qaeda and as well as Osama bin Laden were there on scene in Albania helping to equip some of the Arab fighters that were going in and doing that. And that came out in a Senate report by the Republicans in 1999. So it's not a secret. So we have this relationship. But as they're demonizing Osama bin Laden in the Western media,
yeah,
that is conversely building him up as a big hero in the Islamic world, especially in the areas that have been radicalized. There's a whole other show we could do on how the West has funded the most radical elements of Islam, shipping in radical hadiths by the tens of thousands to school children. But, again, that's another side issue. There's so much evidence. I'm not sure even where to start. So what you do is, you go in, you control a bin Laden, he goes into his minions and he says, I want you to attack the U.S., here's the funds, here's how you do it, here's the passports, here's the visas, and then they come in thinking that they're actually fighting the New World Order, when in truth they are empowering it through creating the crisis that is the pretext for a globalist invasion of not just Central Asia, but also the Middle East and 60-plus nations that they've listed as rogue. But that's only if you believe those hijackers were actually on board the aircraft. That's another discussion area. It looks like with the Iraqis that we're seeing at Oklahoma City, that they were just seen there for a later date, that is 2002, 2003, to blame Oklahoma City on Saddam. We know the U.S. brought in these Iraqis in the 80s, brought them back in the 90s, has had them around different terrorist actions, and I believe to later bring them into the script and say, look, they've been attacking us. So it's simple. If you want to attack a country, you go hire some people from their country, you have them be seen at the scene of terrorist events or nearby on cameras. You then get to go in and attack that nation saying, ooh, look, they attacked us. It's just an old frame-up. And the CIA has done this in 30 third world countries, and now they're just doing it here in the United States. Hitler blew up the Reichstag to get control. We're seeing the same thing here.
Al Hussein Husseini, would he be one of the generals or the colonels? Where in that operation is he? You name names. Not only do you name what's going on, you name the people's names and have identified them.
Well, yes, that's because, I mean, I've been sent surveillance camera tapes by the police in Oklahoma City. Much of this was on local news, so the New York Times bought one of the TV stations just to get it off the air. Al Husseini Hussein was trained in the mid-80s at Fort Benning, Georgia, in torture and in many other espionage tactics. We know this. This was in a 1993 Washington Times article. But he was sent back to Iraq. Then when Iraq imploded at the end of the Gulf War in 91, Al Husseini Hussein and 3,500 to 5,000, we know 3,500,
right,
probably actually above 5,000,
right,
were brought back into the United States. They do not work for Saddam Hussein. They work for the globalists. They work for the shadow government that's now announced itself.
The invisible government. Yeah, go ahead. We've got a call.
Alex, we've got more calls here on Mojo Radio. Are you prepared for this?
Sure. One small caveat to Al Husseini Hussein.
Yeah.
It has been confirmed he worked at the Boston airport in food catering to the actual hijacked aircraft.
Oh, wow. Isn't that exciting?
All right. We've got Damon on the phone. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm just wondering, invariably, when you bring up the Mossad, there's this knee-jerk reaction. People like Rupert deny the Mossad had anything to do with it, but they don't have an explanation as to how they arrived at that answer. And I was just wondering if anybody on the show tonight can answer this.
Well, I can speak to it.
Yep.
Look, I don't think Israel controls the United States. The United States controls Israel, and a larger puppet master mechanism, the Anglo-American establishment, controls the U.S. So people like to play it up in the press. Ooh, the Israeli lobby, they tell us what to do, and occasionally Israeli puppets will even spout off and say that. This is more sophisticated manipulation. If you actually follow aggregate ownership of global companies, it's the British, the Dutch, the French, the Germans, and some of the old Eastern establishment WASP in the United States. They certainly have their errand boys in Israel. And that's what we have going on here. So certainly Mossad is involved in a lot of different operations around the world. In this one, in this case, again, I don't have the total proof on this, but I can speak to the facts that we do have. We know that Mossad was shadowing the Al-Qaeda operatives, which are CIA operatives, inside the country right before September 11th. And then the new deputy director of the FBI came on Fox a few months ago and said, oh, we were arrested hundreds of Israelis because they were following al-Qaeda and we think they had prior knowledge. Well, if our government grabbed hundreds of Israelis right before September 11th because they had prior knowledge, that shows that our government had prior knowledge. It's just idiocy if you have the critical thinking of an amoeba.
Well, Alex, already anybody who's reading the newspaper will have already read that in 93 the FBI have admitted to hiring the terrorists that blew up the bomb. Is that not correct?
Yes, they hired an Egyptian former
Salami
officer. Yeah, Ahmad Salam. Paid $1 million to cook the bomb and train the driver. This is New York Times, Chicago Tribune. He didn't want to bomb it. He said, look, I built the bomb. You're supposed to raid him. Why won't you raid him? They said, shut up. We're not going to raid him. So he got a hidden camera and hidden audio of the head of the FBI in New York in a room telling him, and this is confirmed, you let that go forward. So he went public. He didn't even want to bomb it. So it's the same thing. I mean,
Alex, the point here is there's actual information already. There is documented proof that the FBI ordered the man, Salam, to blow up the World Trade Center.
The first time around.
Well, yes, he.
And he was frightened of it. He was told he was going to do a sting operation, and he backed out at the last minute and had to be given orders by the FBI to do it. Correct?
Yes. Well, yeah. And then he got so worried he went and he thought they were framing him, which it probably true. He went and taped them, telling him to go ahead.
Now, is there any truth, Alex, that they parked the vehicle not where they were supposed to, but about 200 meters away from a pillar, and that's why the building went off 12 feet away?
Well, yes, according to the press reports, it was 12 feet away from the column that they were, where they guesstimate ground zero was from the crater in the underground parking garage, that they had tried to have, the FBI actually, according to the reports, had men in the building that morning trying to keep cars away from parking around the main support column, but people kept doing it anyways, so they couldn't, and so when the poor, and again, poor, ignorant, useful idiot drove in there, I mean, they go out and pick low-grade morons to do these things. You know, the wind-up toy that Salam had hired to do this, and one of the adherents of the blind sheik who couldn't even brush his own teeth. I mean, this is asinine, and they couldn't even park it right up against the column. And if that column would have been taken out, the column causing the other building to collapse because of structural damage and superstructure.
Oh, that's amazing. The FBI can direct terrorists, but they can't direct some traffic.
Gene from Ottawa. Hello.
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 Hello, this is Gene.
This is Jean Tritt. John?
Gene?
Gene, they call me Gene in Toronto.
Okay, do you have a question for us?
Yeah, I want to know the 9/11 thing, you know. You talk about conspiracy. How about that Paul Martin conspiracy? He's the worst in the West, that guy, you know. I think
he's a Bay Street guy, connected to the Wall Street guys, connected to the Bostonians. Take it away, Bob.
I still want Alex to look at the question of Jackson Stevens down in Venice, Florida. And I don't think for our listeners, what proof do you have that something was arranged? We haven't heard any facts about the September 11th that shows the new listeners that it was done before. We do know that some of the people on the plane, the Saudi government showed pictures of them alive after, that they weren't hijackers. Are you aware of that? But give me some more facts.
Hey, wait a minute. Am I talking to Talk 640?
Oh, yes.
Talk 640.
Well,
Sean, Bob's still on another conversation,
and
so I'll address
thing.
You.
Well, here's the thing, though, Sean, to let you know that the people that we're talking to are in America, and we're really kind of focusing on this 9/11 experience.
All right, I'll go slower.
We're not really doing... it's not that we have to talk down to Americans. I'm saying that we need to... We're talking about 9/11. We're talking about 9/11.
Well, gentlemen, look, Infowars.com is my website, and I have a giant government prior knowledge section, and many of the news stories that are in the film are in the government prior knowledge section of Infowars.com. On Infowars.com, you can also download my entire VHS version of the film. It's 144 minutes long. You can download the entire film for free, because I want to get this information out to people, at Infowars.com. And it's very well done. It's got all the proof, the evidence you need. I can go on. I can just start and launch and talk for the rest of the show with smoking gun documents after just endless evidence. If you'd like me to launch, I'll be happy to. Give us two documents.
Well, my head starts spinning just to even try. Bush's White House put out document W-199I, eyes only. and I've interviewed Greg Powell from BBC about it, and I've got a new book coming out. It's got a copy of several pages out of it. It was an order 2 months before September 11th to the FBI national office, to in all of its field offices, not to try to stop Al Qaeda or the Bin Laden family or Hamas or any of this, the CIA, ISI, Pakistani intelligence mechanism that they had transplanted here and built up. I mean, it specifically tells them don't do it. We also have Bush on the anthrax finding antibiotic on September 10th with the rest of his cabinet. That was even in the Associated Press. We have Mayor Willie Brown of San Francisco, Salman Rushdie, the Joint Chiefs of Staff. This is all San Francisco Chronicle, MSNBC, Times of London, being told not to fly on September 11th.
Alex, there's also the, for Bob's sake, there's also all the documentation, the reporting that the White House was already on CIPRO. Cipro, is it called?
Cipro.
Cipro.
That's what I was saying, the day before
the attack.
Bush also had the battle plans to invade Afghanistan. They even admit this now. We first reported it on September 10th. They had upwards of 40,000 U.S. and British special forces massing in Tajikistan and Uzbekistan 4 months before. I mean, it just goes on and on. I can continue.
Well,
can I say something?
You can say something before we go to commercial, Sean.
Listen, I have access to George the son, George Bush the son, and before we sent over our 800 Canadian troops, I told that troop, go to Afghanistan, help the Americans, grab the hash and come home.
Thank you so much. That was brilliant. We are coming back with serious stuff. We've gotten John off the phone now.
There's a wealth of information that people like Sherman Skolnick is talking about, and
Alex Jones
is talking about, and we have a link to Alex's website, Infowars.com, and I think it's important to realize that we're talking about documents, about public newspaper articles, about interviews, and you can see the interviews and familiarize yourself with, for instance, we have the smoking gun of Dan Rather interviewing the FEMA representative, who said that he checked into the hotel the night before the September 11th.
That's right. Why did all the emergency
smoking
people
guns. There's
show
so
up.
Many smoking guns, once again, and you can go to Smoking Gun. If you go to the mojo.com, go to
mojoradio.com,
and you go to the Cloak and Dagger site, you can see the Smoking Gun, which is all the Zapruder film and the Kennedy assassination stuff, and you can get into the update yourself on everything that we've been talking about and what conspiracy historians have been alluding to over the last few years.
You can also go into our archives and hear some of these shows again. So if we're speaking too fast, you can always catch up and be that student of life that you are, because the global theater is a dangerous place.
There was one thing that before the break, I wanted to point out and pick up on for Bob and for Alex, and that is the interesting fact that the medical doctors in the White House already had the president on a medication to protect him from
anthrax
days before.
And not just the president, much of the cabinet, and then it turned out that the anthrax did come from Fort Detrick, Maryland, and it's all over the British and in some of the Canadian press that it is indeed a CIA operation from 1999, a $2 million congressionally funded study of how to send weaponized anthrax to the mail, and when much of the Capitol and its surrounding complex were shut down, they passed the USA Patriot Act, which, I mean, in Soviet Russia, they didn't have the nerve to put these type of draconian laws on the books. They just did it. Here in the U.S., they've actually put it on the books.
Yeah, wow. This is the new fascism taking over the United States.
We have Peter on the phone. He's been holding a long time. Peter, thank you for calling Mojo Radio.
Thanks. I wanted to ask your guest, does he believe that the planes were guided into the buildings via remote control, or has anybody done any digging into the past of the pilots themselves to see if they might have been possible Manchurian candidates?
Very good question.
A very important question. It's important that I say this. I only cover the things I can prove. I can prove that the supposed lead hijacker was trained at the Pensacola Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida, at a U.S. military Naval Air Station in 1998. I know that he was then sent with two of the other hijackers to the Defense Language School at Monterey. That's why that colonel wrote the letter to the editor, the dean of the school, and I've had his lawyer on my syndicated radio broadcast talking about how he has over 100 people that he knows inside Defense Intelligence who were ordered to tell the F-16s to stand down and not shoot down those aircraft. They had 58 minutes to shoot down just the second one. From the time they knew that it was hijacked, and that's why they claim that the audio tapes out of the air traffic control are secret. They've said that all the firefighting and police audio tapes and video interviews with the police are secret from there on the ground. I don't get into where the planes remote control. We know that technology is old. We know that in World War II they had radio-controlled Liberators that our government practiced launching from Britain, that they did fly into cities in Germany. Hitler had his guided missiles, so did the Allies. We know that they have Global Hawk that's made in Fort Worth, Texas, that can remote control aircraft with precision, and about a decade ago they flew a jumbo jet from the U.S. to Europe that had no one on board up. So this is an old technology. We know that. While we even know that the show Lone Gunman, the pilot that came on after X-Files last year, 3 months before the attack, had a pilot. In fact, I can see the video of this. Many Canadians probably saw it, where there's a secret government group and they want to remote control hijack a jumbo jet and fly it to the World Trade Center to declare martial law. Now, that's just like the brother of Frank Keating, the governor of Oklahoma, 2 years before the attack, writing a book, The Final Jihad, where Tom McVeigh bombed the Alfred P. Murrah building. I mean, these guys just don't quit. They love to brag before they do it. But you know what? I don't get into where they remote controlled. Even if firefighters and the oldest firefighters...
It doesn't matter on a lot of... On the big level, it doesn't matter, Alex. It doesn't matter how they did it. The bottom line is it's an invisible government attempt to create a new Reichstag fire and overthrow of the American Republic.
Exactly. We know they're involved in every facet of it. We know that this government orchestrated it, and we know that they're doing everything they can now to bring down our republic. I mean, look, they're getting rid of Posse Comitatus. They already had troops on the streets. Now they're just announcing it. They're bringing in foreign troops. It's in the Associated Press. I mean, it's bizarre. It's like invasion of the body snatchers. Down here, you ought to see it. Face scanning cameras going up. Police in black ski masks. Armored vehicles everywhere. And these were all in warehouses just waiting. And boom, the attack comes. Suddenly, a week after, they're putting the face scanning cameras up. Armored vehicles are driving around. They're admitting Roundup plans, building huge FEMA centers. It's in our newspapers.
Yep.
What is the group? How many is the committee? Who is they that are doing this?
The Committee of Eight.
Well, Professor Cal Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, explains that there really is no left and right at the top, that it's a staged event like our WWF wrestling. It's fake. It's not real. And they manipulate the general public against each other when we all should be in a populist movement for local control and freedom. They create this this synthesis of the left and right. And who is this group? Professor Carroll Quigley, in his book Tragedy and Hope, written back in the late 60s, explains it. He was an adherent. He was a servant, a high-level servant. He was allowed into the society's papers, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, and its U.S. counterpart, the Council on Foreign Relations, as well as the Bilderberg Group. And he was this is a top professor at Georgetown. He was allowed into
the open conspiracy, Bob.
Alex, where does the group end and we citizens are not part of it?
Alex Jones, I'm so glad you're with us. Now, Bob Dobbs, we want the question. Bob Dobbs and
Alex, name a few people, but when you talk with the Council of Foreign Relations, that's hundreds of people. You're saying they all knew.
Well, what you have is you have interlocking directorates. If you notice, the chairman and some of the top people at the CFR are also in the Trilateral Commission leadership positions and Bilderberg Group leadership positions. It is down to just a few hundred world leaders and financial families, and yes, even royal families, that codify their agenda at meetings, and then it is passed into their actual managers who refine policies, engage the results, that are then put down into the lower levels to compartmentalization, and then the bureaucracy simply follows the orders. But I, in my film, have CFR members a couple days after the attack bragging and congratulating each other on C-SPAN. Gary Hart Mr. Warren Redman and Newt Gingrich, and they're all up there saying we've got to give our rights up now. This attack's come. George Bush's father called for a new world order. We need to use this attack for the new world order. So let me just name some people: David Rockefeller, Prince Philip, Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands. These are some of the highest level individuals up there actually running the world.
Maurice Strong, Bob.
Well, let's go back. What about Jackson Stevens? Is he lower level?
Could you please explain who Jackson Stevens is to our listeners?
Jackson Stevens brought Bush into the vice presidency, then the presidency. He then brought Clinton into the presidency. Jackson Stevens is a billionaire down in Little Rock, Arkansas, who in Venice, Florida, working for the National Security Agency, if not controlling it, set up the training of some of the pilots supposedly on the suicide bombers in Venice, Florida. What does Alex have on Jackson Stevens?
I've heard the name and read about him, but there's so many of these mid-level minions. I would just say that he's just like George Bush Sr., an organizer and a operator. You know, George Bush Sr., former director of the CIA. We just know this. The government trained those hijackers, many of them. We know this. They sent them to multiple schools, and we know that there are connections there. When you mentioned the former Deputy Secretary of State, he did say in Newsweek, we're going to have a world government. We're going to give our rights up. We're going to basically be slaves. So that's an interesting individual as well. But these are all mid-level functionaries. You're down to just a few hundred people actually making the decisions on the direction. Then it's up to the minions to implement.
But they're not on paper, Alex, are they? You can't get proof that Rockefeller, Bernhard were involved in this.
I don't know. Their organizations certainly were, and we know they call the shots. It's like when the mob goes and kills somebody and is out there, you know, taking over the territory, and you say, well, we caught their thugs doing it, but we don't know if John Gotti's behind it. I mean, give me a break.
Wait a minute. You drive a car. Isn't Rockefeller working it so that you can have oil to get your car? It may be the wrong methods, but aren't you involved by the technology you use?
Oh, we're all definitely part of this system, and now they're putting the satellite trackers in all the cars, getting ready to tax us with them, and we're going to be enslaved.
Bob, that's all right.
Alex, you have your own show. You syndicate it. You put out this information. Nobody responds to it in a big level where it matters, but how are you enslaved? What are you enslaved to?
Well, I'm enslaved economically. People off of rural areas into compact, easily controlled cities. I'm losing my Bill of Rights and Constitution. Down the street, a SWAT team went in the house and shot an innocent person just a few months ago. My taxes are going up and up and up. There's more and more corruption. They caught our police involved in narcotics trafficking. We know it's connected to the Central Intelligence Agency. We just see the type of things that you see in third world countries. The evidence is all around us. They're trying to water down the right to jury trial in this country and in England, and I believe up in Canada they're also moving in that direction. So just all over the place we see our freedoms being abridged, and I'm just trying, look, it's all part of a process. The New World Order doesn't control everything. They just control the central banks that print the money. They control the military. They control the basic conduits, the rat maze itself, and then they try to get us to live in those parameters. I'm trying to get folks out of those parameters. They don't control everything yet. They are just the most dominant force in this complex world. New World Order is about total control.
All right. If I can interject here for a moment, Bob, I want Alex now to answer some questions from our phone calls. We have so many phone calls. Rajbir, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Do you have something to tell us?
Yeah, I was wondering if you have any theories on the Nostradamus placement.
Is that a question for me?
Yes.
Yeah, Alex.
I don't get into where the plane's remote control or Nostradamus. I just stick to the nuts and bolts. And that's what they've built, a giant FEMA camp in downtown Austin, right outside downtown Austin. They have got armored vehicles driving around, and they've got foreign troops now marching around here.
Oh,
and that's the kind of stuff I can prove, and I knew it was coming because I read the Army War College reports years ago. I don't mean to be mean. I don't get into things that we can't prove, like what Nostradamus said.
Fresca, you are going to ask a question. Somebody wrote in.
This is from Rai. He says, what can you tell us about the Northwoods document, Alex?
Wow, that's a very important question.
It's not my opinion, folks. This stuff is real. If you go to Infowars.com or to the Mojo website and over to the Cloak and Dagger website, you can link through to my site, Infowars.net or com, you can actually not just read the ABC News piece from May 1st or the Baltimore Sun that first broke it with James Bamford back in April 24th of 2001, months before the attack. You can link through the National Security Archives. And it's a 24-page document. It's the U.S. government plan to hijack jets, crash them full of Americans, to kill astronauts in space or to allow them to die, to bomb D.C., to bomb ships, to kill Marines, and blame it on Cuba, blame it on the Soviets as a pretext for war. That plan was never activated. It got as high as the president back in the Kennedy administration when it was written, and he said no and attempted to abolish the CIA and get rid of the Federal Reserve and pull us out of Vietnam. Just a few months later, he got his head blown off in Dealey Plaza. And so it's no measure of why Kennedy was sending telegrams to the Soviets saying, you better watch it, there's about to be a military coup if you don't back off. He wasn't playing games there. And so this is a confirmed document where they explain why they want to kill Americans. They say, casualty list of Americans in U.S. newspapers will cause a helpful wave of indignation. Dead people will fire up the American people for war. They actually say it. They say we can blow up a ship again like we did with the sinking of the Maine in 1898 with William McKinley's Navy.
Pearl Harbor, I guess. There's a whole bunch of stuff.
Sure.
Here we go. We've got some more questions for you from our callers. Akner, thank you for calling Mojo Radio.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi, Alex.
Hello.
Hi. I'm pretty well versed on a lot of what you're saying, and it's pretty depressing stuff. My question is, what is to be done? How do we stop the New World Order with going through with their nefarious plans? Like, what can the normal individual person do about this? There has to be a solution. And number two, I wanted to ask you, don't you think that the late, great Bill Hicks would have been totally all over this, like a demon?
Well, you know, I work with Bill Hicks.
I know.
A producer. Yes, he would have. He certainly would have been, and Bill was a great spirit, and certainly knew what was going on, a great soul. Your first question, depressing. It's more depressing to be walking through the dark, not knowing there's a spike with poison bungee sticks at the bottom. I'm trying to get folks to see the pits. The key here is that cop who lives next door to you, that government person. Tell them about Cloak and Dagger. Obviously a great show. I've took up the websites. A lot of great guests. A lot of amazing information. Great host. Tell 10 people a day about this Sunday night broadcast. You know, it needs to be the biggest show in your area, your region of Canada. Tell your neighbors about the New World Order. Download my film for free. And if you like it, you know, call and get the high-quality DVD or VHS version. But download it at my website for free off the video clip section and put it on disc and give it to people and challenge them. You know, disprove the stuff that's in here. This is not my opinion. This is the facts. And it's very exciting to know the truth. So many people are unhappy and depressed. It's because deep down their subconscious knows they're not awake to what's happening. So that's what I do there.
You know, in answer to the caller, just talking about, there's the CIA there.
I've got you on the phone here.
This material.
We have to take a message. This could be an emergency. We're going to come right back with Cloak and Dagger on Mojo Radio right after this. Well, I just had one of our producers on the phone. I won't tell you which one. He said if we are looking for a watermark of when we've gone too far, we've just hit it. Now, we intend to continue Cloak and Dagger on Mojo Radio every Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m., but if we get any more dangerous, we may be looking for new producers. Anyway, I don't think we can afford to lighten things up here. We're just getting started. Lenny, what say you? Shall we sally forth and take some more phone calls?
Absolutely. Let's go forward.
All right. We have got Alex Jones here on Cloak and Dagger. He's speaking about the 9/11 conspiracies, the invisible government. We've got Bob Dobbs on the phone. Fresca is going to be taking your emails. She's got a few more to read, but we've got people that have been on the phone a long time, and I'd like to thank you, Chris, for holding.
Hi.
Please give us your question.
Okay. I've got a question for both Bob and a question for Alex. Firstly, if you could, I'd like to comment, though. I just picked up an article right in the Toronto Star talking about the Carlyle Group. Bush Sr. was up here just, I think, less than a month ago visiting Frank McKenna for a golf game and some consulting. It's the fifth largest contractor and builder of armored vehicles in the USA. And Bin Laden's families had connections with it. So there you go, right there, an article in the mainstream.
And our armored vehicles, those are going to be used here in the U.S. for urban oppression. They admit it. And now, look, the globalists are planning another terrorist attack on the U.S. Dick Cheney said that if we continue to investigate his prior knowledge, there's going to be a bigger attack. That's a quote. These guys are threatening us.
Yeah, and also,
wow.
$60 million of Canadian pension fund was used to invest in the company on the stock market.
Thousands of giant armored vehicles and the Carlyle group with the Bushes vacationing with the filthy Bin Laden family, just another smoking gun.
Can you tell me, if you could elaborate, I've heard it before, Bush's remarks on the day of September 11th, where he screwed up where he was or something like that, and it looked like he might have said let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. And to Bob, I have one question. Isn't it more like, why would they want to enslave us? I don't get it. Like, why not keep things as is, where we consume? Because we seem to be involved in the conspiracies ourselves. If everybody didn't buy SUVs, you wouldn't have to be complicated with Saudi oil. You could have a 10% reduction in oil. Therefore, you wouldn't have to have all the political Machiavellian games going on with the Saudis in the East. We seem to be willing participants in it. We'd like to have all the escapist things that go along with it, and anyone can name that. But in the end, how do you get people angered enough where they would actually do anything against it? I mean...
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, Chris. Let's go to Bob Dobbs first, and we're going to come back to describe what FEMA is, what was said there,
okay,
and then possibly a little bit about Bush as well. But Bob, you first, please.
Great show, guys.
Alex and I were talking to, during the break, and we decided the issue is whether to get people off. Did you hear that? I got cut off. Alex and I were talking during the break, and we came up with the point that our responsibility is things like dealing with our medical problems, Prozac, get off Prozac. There's a great responsibility by individuals that we have to take as part of this revolution. Take it away, Alex.
Excellent.
Well, no, I agree. Don't let Madison Avenue sell you. I mean, when they cast that lure out there, don't be the stupid bash that goes up and grabs it. We've got to consciously get outside the box, see the rat maze for what it is. But I, the elite, want to take us to the next level of being dumbed down. And I mean, this is from top scientists, top globalists. I'm seeing this thread in a lot of their publications and internal papers that they don't like us reading, but that are out there through universities. They already have life extension technology. And it's going to be so advanced within 20 years that you'll be able to live to be at least 200, 300 years old. They have to dumb us down, herd us into compact cities, turn us into mindless, drooling sports fans so that we're not smart enough to see the second tier, the advanced technological society they're going to build for themselves. We're going to be at a retarded, frozen technological level while just literally running around with sticks and stones while the globalists have advanced technologies for themselves. They will not let the life extension technology. They will not let the general public have access to those, and this is why they're saying they've got to totally dumb us down. And I've got their quotes out of their own publications, how they need to forcibly drug us or use mass electronics to control us to get us into this position.
Now, can you quickly explain what FEMA is for people out there who don't know what FEMA stands for?
Okay, it was set up in 1979 by Jimmy Carter. It's the Federal Emergency Management Agency. They claim it's for floods and helping, you know, get kitty cats out of trees, and it just loves you. In truth, it has takeover boxes in every radio and TV station in the U.S. now. It's built giant camps all over the country, and now it admits it's hooking into the Model Health Powers Act, which will be total gun confiscations, roundups, forced inoculations. The list goes on and on. It is the shadow government. It is the administration of that bunker government, which they now admit Bush activated, that is in full control of the government. And Bush even told the leader of the House, the leader of the Senate, you do not have access to the bunker.
And didn't someone from FEMA slip up when they were talking on the news to Dan Rather and give the wrong date?
Yes, Mr. Kenny said we were on the ground in place prepared the night before the attack, and we were there after. And then he turned red on television when he said it. So,
and the next time they showed the clip, that wasn't there.
And you can see that clip at mojoradio.com and go into the Cloak and Dagger website and look for the media news, and it's there. The Tom Kennedy of FEMA telling Dan Rather of CBS News that FEMA arrived on Monday, but the World Trade Center hadn't been hit until Tuesday morning. So check your calendars, folks. September 11th was a Tuesday. Something smells here because Tom Kennedy of the FEMA was there a day before.
Well, also, we have 6,000 Taliban and Al-Qaeda as Kandahar fell, being flown out to safety to be dropped off in Kashmir. to start attacking the Indians by blowing up their parliament and shooting people daily, so that the Carlyle Group, and this is who's selling the majority of the weapons, can sell weapons to India and Pakistan and make another $50 billion. And who owns that? The Bushes and the Bin Ladens. I mean, this is incredible. We have the U.S. government flying the real Taliban and Al-Qaeda out to safety as Kandahar falls. Then people say, well, who are they torturing then at Camp X-Ray and over in Egypt? And they admit, by the way, they are torturing these people, and they're not giving them any rights. Oh, but they're just, you know, the evil Al-Qaeda. No, they're low-level privates, low-level guys that were goat herders that got grabbed and, you know, pushed into the Taliban. And then they have the CIA-controlled, this is admitted, CIA-controlled ISI in the trenches behind them. And then the poor guys, the goat herders, had to sit out there in the front lines getting shelled and bombed just for theater for the world.
Alex, this is terrific, and what we're going to do now is we usually have a Video Dave segment in which what we're going to do is we're going to play and do a whole little thing on Bullworth, the movie, to show the connection between the Anglo-American establishment, the corporate elite, et cetera, and the control of the politicians. We want you to stick around, and then we're going to come back to you after we do after the break and after we do Video Dave, and we'll continue with the phone calls and with Alex Jones.
Can I just say one thing?
Go ahead.
I have been honored to be on this show, and this show is hot. You guys are awesome. It's usually boring to do interviews. I do like three a day. This is a well-done show, and I've been honored to be on it.
Video Dave, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, gentlemen. How are we all doing today?
This is a great show.
Well, I'm a beautiful guy. I mean,
yeah.
What can I tell you? This, Lenny, I mean, really, the discussion in the last segment is just a perfect lead-up for what we're going to talk about
yep.
in terms of the film, Bullworth.
Yep.
Now, I'm sure you'll agree with me, there's a similarity, a fundamental similarity between the film Bullworth and Wag the Dog. Now, they both take aim at the sorry state of current-day American politics, but the real difference between the two is that they have slightly different agendas, and I'll state those. Wag the Dog dissects the showmanship aspect of Washington while firing a few shots at Hollywood. You'd agree with that. The difference between, and Bullworth, of course, and the major difference is that Bullworth is a full frontal assault on the shallowness of the political campaign process.
Yeah, and just for the people who are listening, Wag the Dog is, if you haven't seen it, is really shows how the White House and the apparatus of government, the executive office, is manipulated, and how it manipulates the media in order to keep the politicians and the powers that be on top. And of course, Bullworth. Let's play the segment from Bullworth that you've chosen,
sure.
because it just is Warren Beatty, who plays Bullworth, is now talking to a church group of minority citizens, blacks in the United States, talking about what he can do for them.
Right. And again, you can see this clip.
Yeah.
If you go to mojoradio.com, go on the right-hand side, scroll down a little, click on Cloak and Dagger, and then you'll see this clip. But right now, we can listen to it.
Yep. Let's go with
here
the clip.
We can't get health insurance, fire insurance, life insurance. Why haven't you come out to Senate Bill 27 twice?
Well, because you haven't really contributed any money to my campaign. You have any idea how much these insurance companies come up with? They pretty much depend on me to get a bill like that and bottle it up in my committee during an election, and in that way, we can kill it when you're not looking.
Very beautiful. We can
That's
kill it when you're not
yeah.
looking.
Now, Lenny, you'd agree that Bullworth is actually an angry film.
Yeah.
I mean, what it's doing is it's savvy enough to recognize that, and respond better to, people respond better to comedies rather than serious social issue films.
Yeah.
But I think this film is savvy enough to send a message beneath the surface of its satire. Would you not agree with
that? Yeah, you have to be satirical just to tell the truth today, because the truth is so hot that you got to cool it down with some satire in order to make it palatable.
That's why we get you on Gretchen. Calling it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, and also worth noting that there's a major similarity between the film Network, Sidney Lumet's film from 1976, and Bullworth.
Yeah.
Would you see the similarities there?
Yeah, big similarities. The whole, once again, I think the importance of Bullworth in, as it relates to what Alex is saying is that the powers that be, the super rich, worship the culture jammers. And Bullworth was a culture jammer. He jammed up and bottled up the legal system, just like Dan Rather jams up the airwaves.
Yeah.
And these culture jammers jam culture and create confusion in order to prevent you from seeing what's really going on backstage in the global theater.
Now, Video Dave,
yes.
Here was the problem with Bullworth, is that they had to bring on Warren Beatty on one of those Sunday morning talk shows to sort of weaken him. And he did not have a very articulate response. He sort of caved in and said, I'm an entertainer. And he really wasn't articulate. And the film was killed because he failed to take advantage on the morning talk shows.
Well, Bob, we all know that in terms of, I mean, we know that Warren Beatty directed the film, but it's not his agenda. He's sort of a directorial puppet. And he had no part in writing the film. He was just sort of there as sort of a face. And what was really happening, there was something behind the curtain actually happening in terms of the film.
Well,
I think it's really important to note that political films with a take no prisoners attitude is a welcome trait in cinema. It's incredibly important.
Oh, hear, hear.
Well, unless it's used properly. The film bombed. It didn't present the right way one would have to take over the White House, the character Beatty, and they knew to pick Beatty in to come in and do the interview, and he failed to have any impact, and the movie bombed after
that. Of course, it's always the case in Hollywood where serious issue films, political issue films, always bomb. They never make any money. We were talking about that last week with the third installment of The Godfather.
No, it's not that it bombed, and that's just economic. It bombed, it didn't have any effect on the public. Because Warren Beatty failed to talk intelligently once he got on the Meet the Press.
Well, Bob, as you've said many times, communication is a miracle but not impossible. So nobody's going to hit the mark right on, but he gave it a good old college try, right?
No, he didn't, because we're being fooled by any entertainment package, television, movie. It's talk shows, which is the most important, powerful medium today because it's live citizens. Any movie will be sucked into the quicksand of media cancellation.
Bob, why can't politicians develop a tell-it-like-it-is philosophy to politics like the Bulworth character? When this approach caused a national sensation and attract millions of potential voters, why didn't it work for Ralph Nader?
So, Bob, we're still men without art, as Lewis said, right? That's all you're trying to point out, right?
No, I'm pointing out, George Bush Sr. said recently, you can fool some of the people all the time. And politics is geared to about 15% of the American populace, and that's where it's going to stay limited. It's a very inconsequential activity, who's in the White House, who's running Congress. That's what citizens got to wake up to. They got to realize they live on the whole planet through our new modern digital communications. We are planetary citizens. Therefore, it's silly to be bombing someone else.
Well, Bob, do you see the similarity between the Bulworth character and Ralph Nader? Isn't, in essence, Ralph Nader Bulworth?
Yes, in a lot of ways, and Ralph Nader only worked to help Bush get in. And that was all pre-planned anyway, so Nader gives you a choice, a virtual fake choice, and the people get fooled into participating. They got to realize that they should turn off the media and not listen to any packages given to them.
I think we'll be able to have a whole show about that, whether Nader actually had anything to do with that. And we could go over that last election in the U.S., that last travesty of an election, and also talk about that. That's quite amazing.
What did Alex say?
Video Dave, you had a final thought. You had some information for us.
Yes, I do. It's just straight off the wire here, insider report. Now, we all know James Cameron, the megalomaniac filmmaker that brought us Titanic.
I believe he's king of the world.
King of the world, top of the world, whatever. He's a megalomaniac, but I won't get into that. He's currently directing the Hiroshima movie. And he's already commissioned the rights for part two, Nagasaki. The Japanese government is doing everything possible right now currently to see that this film doesn't make it to the screen. Pressure groups have been picketing the set, screaming the plot is a gross distortion of a devastating historical event. Now, the subplot, this is funny, involves a love affair between a Japanese woman living in Hiroshima and the pilot of the plane that drops the bomb. And to me, it sounds like a film that's torn between two bombshells.
That's right. It's like Pearl Harbor was already the worst, worst war movie I think I've ever seen.
I'll keep you guys posted on that.
Thank you so much, Video Dave.
Back to the lines.
The Japanese are protesting the movie to raise ratings for the movie. They're in on it.
Thank you, Bob.
All right.
The Android meme.
So we've got Alex here, and let's go to the phones. We've got Zeno, who's been on hold for quite a while. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. Question for Bob. There, Bob?
Yes.
The ability of humans to organize this type of a new world order that Alex Jones is describing is not possible under Android meme conditions, our present environment. Can you argue this position in light of the model of what is happening as Alex Jones is describing it?
Yes, I can. I see that the definition of the situation is now is what the Dan Rather's control. It's the control. It's not a problem of Orwellian reversing terms. It's actually stating how far we're gone. Now, Alex is pointing out the electronic hypnosis and these things are very important. If people understand that they've already been killed, they've disappeared, they're slaves, then we stick with that theme and start from there. It's the definition of the language, and talk radio can give you an opportunity to get it out immediately.
Right on. And now let's go over to John from Scarborough.
And John, have you got a question for Alex? He's on the line.
Yes, I do.
I'd like to know, like, who's the guy behind all these political shadows, or how can we find out who he is?
Okay, look. The New World Order is a collection of old money, and they're just like a university. I mean, the university has its flavor, its ideas, its history, and it doesn't matter if people die or come or go, you still have folks that sit in those seats of power. That's the New World Order, and this group organism, this criminal society, this criminal elite, is always growing, always expanding. Now the globalist, the elite, and their technological servants have the capability to get access to life extension technologies, but they want to hoard them for themselves. So they want to create this world government to basically degenerate us into literal subway worker bee drones in their system, in their labyrinth system. And this is what they're saying. This is what the co-owner, co-chairman, founder of Sun Microsystems is saying. This is what a lot of the top experts and top globalist thinkers are saying. Their futurists are just jumping around, gibbering to each other that if they're good little globalists, they might have access to it. It's incredible.
Alex, have you heard anything about this executive order that gives the helm at the White House to the head of the UN? Is it Executive Order 25? Is that what it is?
EDD 25. I have not seen an actual declassified version. I talked to an emergency manager who showed me portions of it, and it was confirmed to be accurate portions. This is years ago. And, yes, under PDD 25 and other similar presidential decision directives, this country and every other sovereign nation under a global crisis will go under the United Nations. But it doesn't matter. I think they're going to probably demonize and lower the value of the UN and bring forward a new global organization. Then they're going to give us phony choices of which global government do you want? Vote on it. You know, that old tactic of giving you two phony choices.
Yeah.
All right, let me give a quick recap here.
Dobbs agreed.
You're listening to Cloak and Dagger on Mojo Radio. Our show's every Sunday from 9 to 11. We've never dealt with 9-11 yet, even though we're on from 9 to 11. We've never actually talked about the World Trade Center tragedy until now. Alex Jones is on the phone speaking with Bob Dobbs from his Manhattan safe house. Lenny Bloom is here, and we're talking about the conspiracies around September 11th. Bob Dobbs, a question, please, for Mr. Jones.
Are you aware of the Information Awareness Office? We have it on the website. They have the Freemasonic dollar image beaming onto the planet and not having the beam exposed in the Great Game area around Afghanistan. Have you seen that image, Alex?
Yes. It's the all-seeing eye of the pyramid, the eye of Lucifer beaming out. And if you go to the stuff that they're developing out there at the laboratory, it's hover control drones, mind control weapons. This is all publicly admitted. Face scanning cameras, armored vehicles, the whole nine yards. That's why I'm saying one solution is keep local control, keep government control of your life. Don't let them boss you around. You know, even petty local stuff. Just less rules, less laws, less police. We need it now. But yes, so the Information Awareness Network, this new global office, has always been there. Now we're seeing the emergence of many things that were already there. Marines were in police uniforms kicking down Americans' doors in 1988. I interviewed one of them in the new film. He had photos, documents, everything. Now they're telling us, oh, we might have to put troops on the streets with their different rules of engagement. So we're seeing the emergence of things that were already there. Now it's gotten so big they can't cover it up anymore, so they need to introduce it to us after the new 911 and say, this is here to keep you safe. Oh, some people don't like giving up their rights and humanity. Well, then more terror attacks are coming. Boom, another bigger attack comes, and they'll say, see, we told you. And the mindless soccer moms and Joe Sixpacks and the good old boys all scream, take my rights, enslave me, because I want to be safe.
My name is Steve Throat. We've got Lenny Bloom in the studio. We've got Bob Dobbs and Alex Jones on safe lines, on telephone lines, and they're from somewhere in the U.S. I don't want to report exactly where they are. In fact, I don't know where they are. Thank you for staying with us, fellas. And we now have questions. Fresca has been in the studio. She's been downloading our internet questions. You have something for, let's start with the question for Alex.
Alex, the question came in from Brampton. Don't you worry that your bad news will be perceived as fear-mongering and that you're going to create a malicious day with all of this?
Well, look, I mean, actually, the militia movement in the U.S. was created by the FBI to then basically demonize anyone that would ever physically talk about resisting this system. You know, the information I'm covering is real and is documented, and folks have to deal with that.
I mean, again, it's not about me. It's not about Alex Jones. It's not about InfoWars.com. It's about the information. How do we get people to think outside the box? How do we get them to actually start thinking about the systems of power that surround us? Think about the rat maze. Think about the walls, the confines. We're in a controlled system. And just simply start thinking about what's really going on out there. You're almost in a matrix-like false reality. It's theater, ladies and gentlemen. There's a real world out there, and you won't really be living until you see that.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now we have another question for Bob.
Bob, this one sent in by Eileen Dover from Michigan, clearly a false name.
That she's very smart. A lot of people, yes, a lot of people use fake names when they call it here.
But Bob, what role does Admiral Poindexter play in all of this, in the war machine today, she says?
Well, Alex is talking about futuristic psychotronic machines. What we have developed is right now a machine by a small group of people that will create, in its unforeseen effects, blind panic. But before that happens, they will try to zombify everybody. Poindexter is in the loop of feeding information to those people, but he doesn't know that information is being used in that sense. So we have a very small elite, maybe even beyond Rockefeller, that's developing new technology for the zombification. But look, when you start feeling your body warping, when you feel like you're on LSD and you don't know why, then you know the technology's been activated. And it seems to be activated between 10 and 11 a.m. or p.m., several minutes, 7.5 minutes before 11 is when this pulse comes through.
Interesting.
Well, you know, that sounds incredible, but there was a Senate bill that came out earlier this year, 2977, I believe. I'm going from memory here. It's in my film, The Road to Tyranny. And they admit that, well, we shouldn't put these mind control and earthquake weapons in space. And they have seismic. They have the mind control. This is old stuff. In fact, they're about to, it was in MSNBC last week. They're going to start putting stuff that you can't hear audibly in Coke machines. It says drink Coke, and you just subliminally hear it. I mean, this is Newsweek, folks. USA Today, about 3 months ago, starting next year, half of the Walmart product, for the next year, all of them, will have hundreds of Hitachi microchips that are 3 cents a piece woven into everything. You can't even see them, and they're going to put radio readers all over the cities to track everyone, and they claim it's to get personal data. I mean,
wall to wall, Alex.
Is this tracking people, like you'll know everyone who bought a Cabbage Patch doll at Walmart? Is that
what
you're saying?
They claim, well, we are just going to put the microchips in your clothes, and if you ever want to return, there's a problem, or if you ever need to track anybody, why, kids are getting kidnapped. This microchip plan will also help them. They just say, for your best interest and for marketing data, we're going to scan your name and your zip code onto the clothes when you buy them real quick as we scan the price, and then we'll be able to scan, and they'll be woven into your clothes, and they're 3 cents a piece, and they're going to be in everything you do, in shavers and in cans, and we're just going to put microchips everywhere and vaccines in your food.
All right.
For it is cloning ESP. The natural ESP among humans is being technologically reproduced. We can sum it up with the cloning ESP.
Beautiful. Now, you are listening to Mojo Radio. This is Cloak and Dagger. We are going to take a couple of calls before we have to lose Alex Jones. We've got other things coming up, but right now, the phones just keep ringing. Let's go over to John. John, thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you. This message is for Bob. Bob, what plans do they have for the African Americans?
Am I on, Jay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the point is that they have plans for everybody. I think the Afro-Americans will be figureheads, and they will be intimidated first to see. They've studied them and intimidated them for years to study how they react, and then they realize they can siphon them off through this entertainment industry and give them a bunch of symbolism there. But that was an experiment. Now the whole world is an African-American, and they're going to do it to every one of us.
Absolutely. In fact, let me add a caveat to that. They're also targeting, well, they put up this multicultural, oh, we did have everybody in the government. They're putting the cancer viruses, they're putting the diseases, they're sterilizing people of color worldwide. That is proven, and I can document it, a whole nother show. But you're right. Now they're moving on to everyone. They first hit the weakest members of the society first.
And, Alex, we are certainly going to have you back very, very soon and become a regular guest because we just really, really need the information and the observation platform that you provide. provide for us.
And the
I wanted to be on the show, and I was really impressed by the conversations I've had with Mr. Dobbs during the break about his phatic situation. That's really accurate. Thank you.
Yes, there's so much information on our website. Once you get to cloakanddagger.ca, you go to mojoradio.com, click on Cloak and Dagger. The minute you're there, you will be able to find so many links. There will be so much information, and it's not that scary, folks. It's just things you should know. Now, I want to thank you again, Alex Jones, for joining us, and we will have you back on the show as soon as possible.
Gentlemen, before you eject me out of here, can I plug my video?
Absolutely. And your website.
All right, Infowars.com, Infowars.net, order the film on DVD or VHS. It's 170 minutes long on DVD, 144 on VHS, or just watch the film for free on the site. The whole thing's there. And just get it out to folks. Make copies of it. I authorize people to do that. Warn people. Believe you can make a difference. And my film is making a difference. You can call toll-free and get it. 1-888-253-3139. 888-253-3139 or Infowars.com or net. And God bless you, gentlemen.
And Alex, before you go, maybe you'll come back next week in the second hour and do a and we'll do a special on Bohemian Grove where the world leaders meet in a whole Satan worship operation and how you snuck in and videotaped it, and they can see that on your website as well. Maybe you come back next week and we'll go through that.
Certainly. And I wanted
to have you back next week.
And I want to get Lenny Bloom and Bob Dobbs, both of you guys, on my show. You guys are awesome.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
See you.
All right. That is a mutual admiration society there. My name is Deep Throat. Welcome back to the most important radio on the planet. But now, something completely different. We have a special guest. Jeff Steinberg is on the phone. Lenny?
Yes. I want to introduce Jeff Steinberg. Jeff is a the counterintelligence editor of the Executive Intelligence Review, and he really is the major researcher and investigator into the Lady Diana assassination. He starred on the what was called the Battle of the Documentaries in England on the BBC, and we welcome you to the show, Jeff. How are you doing?
Terrific. How are you?
Terrific. It's great to have you, and we haven't got long. We're going to do a short segment and tease everybody tonight about the assassination of Lady Diana and then get into it later in the week, later next week. Why don't you give us a quick summary as to where is the investigation, where is it stalled, and how the cover-up, how well is it going?
Well, sadly, I think the cover-up has been fairly effective. Basically, you had one of those rare moments where the British monarchy and the French establishment decided that it was in their mutual interest to both facilitate the murder of Princess Diana and then further collaborate on covering it up. This was not soap opera. This was not about a love affair with a Muslim. This was about a major challenge to the power and authority of the British monarchy, specifically Queen Elizabeth, Prince Philip, and it was coming from somebody who had more serious historical claims to the English throne than the Windsors did, namely the Spencer family from which Princess Diana.
Now, you said all this on the BBC a year ago now, or is what?
It was quite a few years ago.
More than that.
We're coming up on the fifth anniversary of the crash in Paris, and the highlight of the as you called it, the War of the Documentaries, was in the spring of 1998, and the battle continued for another year after that. The French magistrate who was ostensibly in charge of investigating the incident ran a two-year investigation and at the end of it issued a two-paragraph final report.
Well, that's a lot of information then, eh?
Well, you know, I mean, compare it even to the last most notorious cover-up of a political assassination in recent history, the murder of President John F. Kennedy. There, at least, you had a 26-volume cover-up report by the Warren Commission in which enough real evidence was presented if you bothered to read the massive amounts of raw documentation.
How did they cover up the how did they cover this high-end, high-tech military hit using military lasers and all sorts of high-tech equipment? How did they cover up the fact that it still is, isn't it sitting as a hit-and-run and that's it?
Yeah, because what they did, and by the way, last week, the family of Henri Paul,
Who was the driver of the car? Yeah, exactly. Came out and publicly said that they still don't buy the cover-up, and they are convinced that the blood sample that was used to claim that Henri Paul was both drunk and on drugs was not his blood.
Mm-hmm.
This is key to the whole operation. And, you know, very often you come to a kind of a crucial nub of a cover-up like this.
Like
and
a smoking gun point, eh?
Exactly. In this case, the evidence suggested that there were three possibilities. One, garden variety drunk driving, famous occupants of the car, but nothing out of the ordinary. Second possibility was that the paparazzi were engaged in such an aggressive harassment operation, nearly, you know, lethal harassment, that you got into something that in the U.S. would be prosecuted as manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, maybe not a premeditated murder, but something that unnecessarily caused the murder.
Right.
Third possibility, as you said right at the outset, which I'm convinced of, is high-level, sophisticated political assassination. The Brits were the experts at vehicular homicide.
Right.
Just go to Northern Ireland and find out how many IRA sympathizers were bumped off through a vehicular homicide operation.
Jeff, do you have a website that we can refer to that can we can get more information and follow this ongoing?
Yes, extensively. Go to www.larouchepub.com. That's LARoucheTub.com. And go to the search engine.
Okay.
On the homepage and type in Princess Diana.
Terrific.
You'll get a printout unlike anything you'll ever see before.
I have a question. Jeff.
Hi.
Was Lady Di subscribing to your publications?
She wasn't subscribing, but we had a correspondence going with her. It was interesting because in the fall of 1995, we published a 60-page special report in the Executive Intelligence Review called The Coming Fall of the House of Windsor. And among the things that we documented was the fact that Prince Philip was a genocidal lunatic. And he gave an interview to the German official federal news agency in 1986 in which he said, "I hope when I die that I can be reincarnated as a deadly virus so that I can contribute to wiping out the majority of the human race."
The Malthusians.
Wow.
No wonder the Malthusians and the Benthamites got into the Freemasonry.
Here we go. Thank you so much, Jeff Steinberg. We're going to have you back next week. Thank you for teasing to next week's show. And now on the phone from virtual space, we have Sleeper. Thank you for checking in with us.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
All right. You have a instant pattern recognition report for us.
Yes, and I'm going to do a little 101 responding to some inquiries from people on the Internet. A lot of people talking about what do you do to stop the New World Order. How do you... And I'm going to give a little 101. I'm going to get started. All right, number one, turn off your TV. You know, Bob mentioned it with the talk shows. You just turn it off. Don't let that become a part of your environment. And I want to use a little analogy before I talk about the Internet is the concept of the word broadcaster. And broadcaster is someone who broadcasts something, right? We understand what that means. And that's how television and media was controlled by people for so long, it turning us all into the opposite of that, which is narrow catchers. Well, as a narrow catcher, you're sort of stuck. Only the broadcasters are in control. The Internet is different from the television in this way, and that's why we don't have to turn the Internet off. It turns us into narrow casters. Now, we'll put some stuff up on the site for people to follow that thought later, but I want you to keep that in your mind, that the Internet is very different from the television. So, after we've turned off the television, we understand the concept of narrowcaster, we just eat some real food and make more web pages. So turn off your TV, eat real food, and make more web pages, and you can make a huge dent in the New World Order.
You just talk about things, isn't that, Bob? I mean, we don't want to become narrowcasters, do we?
We want to become
broad catchers, isn't that it, Bob?
Yeah, there's four dimensions, but I'm emphasizing what we do the rest of the week.
And I think we should demand better technologies, as Alex was saying. They're there. I know we have a treatment for AIDS here. We have people. We have to harass every institution that's saying you're inferior, your education, your medicine, your law is inferior, and figure out how to bypass those systems. You have to operate on your personal life and what technologies you use. That's the main thing. The Internet is for community consolidation, but that's only every now and then.
Yeah, well, Bob, every year, fewer and fewer words, and the range of consciousness always a little smaller. Here's the line, Bob. Even now, of course, there's no reason or excuse for committing thought crime. It's merely a question of self-discipline and self-control. Isn't everybody committing thought crime, Bob? And
yes,
face crime? Isn't there a lot of thought crime and face crime around?
Yeah, my phrase is voluntary ESP. The web pages, the internet, talk radio allows people to bump up against and argue and put down the cloned ESP, which is manufactured through the main media. So everybody turns out to be a manipulative satirist. But the problem is we don't want to get stuck in the idea of just information. That becomes an ecstasy and an addiction itself. We've got to attack your medicine, your law, your education, and your raising of kids, and the raising of the elders, and the whole situation. It's the whole lifestyle, which has shrunk to the point where we have access to everybody on the planet to do this.
Yeah, well, the revolution will be complete when the language is perfect.
And it is right now. The language is perfect right now.
Sleeper, do we have a final thought from you?
Yeah, I just want to say it one more time. Turn off your TV and eat real food.
All right. A final thought from Fresca, our spy babe.
Well, thanks for having me on, Duke, but I think this is a little dangerous here at Cloak & Dagger. I'd rather be on Humble and Fred.
Well, that's not, you're not the first person to be afraid of this show. Lenny Bloom, I would like to thank you. I would
it's
like
been
to
a
thank
pleasure. Thanks,
Bob.
Alex Jones.
Sleeper, thanks for checking in. Video Dave, as always. And, of course, Jeff Steinberg and Alex Jones, thank you so much. Also like to thank Aaron and Carla here at the Mojo Studios and all of our callers, Agner, Gene, Peter, Damon, Steven, all of you. Thank you so much. We will be back. Well, I hope we're back. We may be looking for new producers, but we will be back next Sunday at 9 p.m.
Eat John Cretien.
Eat CBC.